But Christian Mission Aid, this is a ministry. Actually, if you remember, last year we raised funds as a church family to be able to send Ben Jocks and Ben Wywoody, and then also Jim Roseboom went with them and went over to Africa for, how long was that? 2 weeks. Or was it 16 days? And 16 days just sounds longer, right? Especially to the wives. And 16 days they were gone over in Africa helping with Christian Mission Aid, also visiting both Ben's visiting the Girths while over there. And Christian Mission Aid is a phenomenal ministry, and I'll let them talk about it. But just amazing to see, again, the miracle of God's grace in working through his children to reach out with his message and draw his children to himself. And so I'm excited, encouraged this morning, and I'm going to ask, actually, to start off, Debbie can come up. She is the founder and CEO of Christian Mission Aid, and she can share some more here and introduce Kip as well. Actually, let me pray for you too. Lord, again, we pray, because apart from you, we can do nothing. We need your mercy, we need your kindness, and we know you hear us. We know you love us. I pray for Debbie, I pray for Kip. And ask, Father, that your grace would minister through them to us, that we would be more strengthened in the power of your Spirit, that we would grow in your love, we would be amazed in you, and it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Yes, it is. Good morning, church. And I just feel that's such a joy and a pleasure to be here to worship you with you this morning. I thank Pastor Tim for giving us the opportunity to share a little bit about Christian Mission Aid and what we do. And the work that we're doing. A little bit about myself. I presently live in Nairobi, Kenya, and I've been living in Africa, East Africa, for 35 years now as a missionary. I come here for a brief time to attend meetings. But before I went to Africa, I grew up in North Dakota, and that's my home state. And by the way, I am Dutch. That seems to be important in this neck of the woods. My mother was a Kleinexel, and I used to think that was a very unique and rare name until I came to this area and looked it up in the phone book. And there's a couple pages of Kleinexels in there. So if there's any Kleinexels here this morning, I'm sorry, but we could be related somehow. not sure, but anyway, living in Kenya, my late husband Larry and myself founded Christian Mission Aid back in 1986. We were working there previously for a few years, and we could see that the pastors in the very remote rural churches were struggling. The pastors had a passion and a calling, but they just didn't have the skills or the training to know how to develop, to establish, and to lead a church. So we felt that we really wanted to do something to help the struggling churches. So we started Christian Mission Aid. Believe that all our programs are all training programs, because we believe that it's the national people, the locals, that need to reach their own people for Christ, to reach out and develop their own communities. So everything we do, we have a component of training the local people to do their own work. The organization has grown. The Lord has really blessed all the ministries. We have grown from the two of us to now over 200 employees, and a variety of different ministries and programs. We have broken our programs down into four categories, one of them being aid and relief. which we do a lot of medical work in South Sudan. You don't hear about it much, but South Sudan is in the middle of a civil war right now, and we are working in some of those conflict areas. But we're working and supervising 29 health facilities serving over 500,000 people. Doing it under very, very difficult situations. We just evacuated, in fact, a couple weeks ago, our Kenya nurses out of Sudan because of fighting was getting too close to the facility that they were in. We also do a lot of food relief and food buckets at Christmas time for widows and orphans that are living in the slum areas. Community development, it's a lot we do with income generations for women, mostly, to provide their own living. We did a lot with the HIV/AIDS programs and awareness and the teaching and the home-based care and building what we call units of hope for the widows and the homeless women after their husbands have died from HIV/AIDS. And we have done over 72 of those in the last few years. And given a widow a home, a two-bedroom home, a shower, latrine, and a water tank so she can have clean water. And other, of course, agriculture, agroforestry programs. And we do a lot of children and youth ministries where we bring less fortunate, very poor children from the slum areas to a one-week youth camp or in a sports camp or a vacation Bible school and get them to, away from that harsh environment and just come and learn the Word of God and to learn how to play and have a much safer environment to come to. We just had a vacation Bible school not too long ago in Uganda, and we have a really good team that knows, you know, how to handle and teach children. But we are expecting 300 kids that they had expected to come, but in the end, 600 came that morning. And luckily, our team did really well of accommodating them. We never turn anybody away. And we also have a exciting program, I think, is training teachers in Kenya and Uganda. You know, we can still pray in school. We can still teach the Word of God in school. And there is a course that every teacher has to be able to teach is a Christian education class. And so we have come in and we're training those teachers how to teach the religious education class and providing the guidelines and the Christian materials for the kids to follow. And this past year, we distributed 51,000 booklets for students in class in schools. So it's really exciting that we can still pray and teach the Word of God in the schools in Kenya and Uganda. The Christian ministries, the Christian outreach programs, Christian ministries is the foundation of any of the work that we do. It's our main focus is on training pastors and providing them with the skills and the knowledge that they need so that they can go out and reach their own communities for Christ, to reach their own people. They know the language, they know the culture, and they can reach better their own people. To back up a little bit, we do have, under the children and youth ministries, we do have a girls' rescue center. And the culture in Maasailand and a lot of these pastoral areas is that they do sell their girls, their daughters off, if they cannot afford to send them to school. They sell their daughters off into marriage, And there usually are quite a lot of abuse that goes on to that. Most of the men that they get married off to are older and have other wives, 3, 4, 5 other wives. So this girl becomes almost just like a slave to the other wives. So we started a rescue center to rescue these girls from forced marriages. We do have 49, but just recently we rescued a girl from the tribal area of Samburu, which is the first one that we've received from that area. So we have 50, and her name is Serena Marie, and I just think that's a beautiful name. I love that name. And she's 12 years old, and she was sold off and forced into a marriage to an older man. And the chief had rescued her, and the government officials came seeking Christian Mission Aid to see if we could take her in and give her a safe place. We provide all the education, the health care, the shelter, and the counseling, because these kids do come broken. They come broken down and scared, and they do need counseling once we receive them. But she's 12 years old, and she has never been to school. So we are busy getting her settled into a school that she can start her education. But she's just one example of many of those of girls that we have out there that need to be rescued. And back now with the Christian Ministries, which is our foundation, with training of the pastors and equipping them, you know, with the passion they have, the commitment, they just didn't have the skills. So we came in with pastors training. We do a lot of follow-up with them so that they can reach and share the gospel. We did a lot of this with hearing pastors, but we also realized there was an unreached people's group who were also deaf. This was the deaf population, which there seems to be a large population of deaf in the community population in Kenya. And we started training the deaf pastors so that they could also reach their people for Christ and work with the youth. The youth were getting are very disciplined. And that's just a summary. You know, it says in Colossians 3:16 that it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in your heart richly." And how can you have that? How can you let that happen if you don't have the word to read, if you don't have the Bible? And we found that the case in many of the rural areas, that these churches didn't have Bibles and the people didn't have Bibles. So how can you learn? How can you hold the word closely to your heart? So we started a campaign, and we start distributing a lot of Bibles out into the rural areas. This area was one of the main areas that helped send a lot of Bibles to give to our pastors. So that was a challenge to us, that we wanted to get Bibles into all the churches in Kenya, Uganda, and South Sudan. Then we realized that these pastors are walking for miles, miles and miles, to reach their neighbor, to reach their church, to reach out to their communities, and would spend just hours, 20, 30 miles they would walk. And we seen a pastor one day, and we realized that we either had to get him a new pair of shoes or a bicycle. So we opted for the bicycle so he could get out and reach it. The neighbors and check on his churches. So a lot of work in Christian Outreach Ministries. I don't want to take too much more time of Kip's, but I just want to thank this church and Pastor Tim for the support of sending Ben and Jim over to help us. They did a fantastic job. They were such a blessing to the people over there, and a big encouragement to our team that they come to work with. I think our staff thinks that America loves the name Ben so much. and they nicknamed you were Ben J, and we had a Ben W. And I think Ben had to learn a whole different way of doing carpentry without power tools, but he did a fantastic job with helping us repair and some building. Jim was a great, great blessing to us that when he came. For those that you don't know, Jim Roseboom is also the chairman of our board of directors here. But when he came, he was such an encouragement to me and the staff, and did a wonderful job in preaching. And he spent a lot of time with the deaf ministry and helping us. And he would, when he'd go to preach, he'd always wonder, you know, he said, is this what he should be saying? Is this what he should talk about? And the joke was, he said, well, it's okay, Jim. You just share what's on your heart because they can't hear you anyway. but he worked really well with the interpreter. So we appreciate all his help. So for that, I'll end there, just so I don't take too much more time. There is an annual report that I'll leave with Pastor Tim of just some of the accomplishments that we did in this past year. So that'll be here, and our website is there if you'd like to know any more about Christian Mission Aid. And now I would like to introduce you to the speaker that is going to give us the message today. And he's a real African missionary that we have with us, and his name is Mr. Edwin Kiptonis. He's been a longtime friend of Larry and myself. He is also the chairman of our board of directors in Kenya, and he does come here every year. He's also a member of the International Council that we have here, and we hold the meetings here in Holland. So I just welcome him. He'll introduce and tell you a little bit more about himself. Welcome, Kip.
Okay, thank you.
We call him Kip for short.
Good morning. My name is Edwin Kiptonis, but I am known Kip the Chicken, because in Dutch, Kip is chicken. I am married, and we have several children and several grandchildren. In my culture, we don't count, because if you count, maybe the child will die. So several children, several grandchildren, no great-grandchildren yet. Yes, I'm the chairperson of CMA in Kenya, and we would like to appreciate you so much on behalf of the board, on behalf of the staff, those who work in Uganda, South Sudan, and Kenya. We appreciate you very much for your prayers, for your support, and for sending also people to come. You are welcome to also visit. Maybe you have not seen animals of all types or birds of all types that are found in East Africa. Welcome to visit. Save and come to Africa. So thank you very much for supporting CMA. I work with Wycliffe, Africa. My job is to recruit African missionaries to do Bible translation. Thank you so much for supporting one Wycliffe member in Tanzania. May I tell you something about my life? Sometimes in August 1962, 25th August, I climbed up a tree and I fell down and I broke my thigh. And I stayed home for 4 days, 4 nights, no painkillers. The hospital was about 100 miles away. Finally, my mother and my father were fighting whether to let me stay home and get the back of the tree, tie my thigh and stay there, or they have to carry me on a gunny bag stretcher to the hospital, which is far away. Finally, my father called the villagers and they carried me to the hospital, but before reaching the hospital, we caught a police Land Rover, which took me to the hospital. I stayed in hospital for 8 months. My leg was up like this. After 8 months, they removed these gadgets. They told me to step down. And when I stepped down, I fell down. At that time, we found that my kneecap was this way. You know, everybody's legs goes like this. Mine, I used to put it on my neck. But don't sympathize with me. While in hospital, some 2 missionaries from England came all the way to the hospital, and they gave me the Bible to read in another language. I read this Bible in another language. I understood wrong and right. That's how I came to know the Lord, because of reading the Bible in the hospital. I wonder how many of you have Bibles in your house. Please, if you have more than 3 Bibles, could you please give us those Bibles to the CMA so we can give some of these many Africans across for them to read the Word of God. I read it in hospital because somebody brought it. I'm so grateful that my leg broke. Because where I come from is a village up the mountains. I read the Bible and I came to know the Lord. Hence the reason why I am involved with Bible translation to recruit Africans to translate the Bible. And also even here today, would you become a missionary and give away a Bible to somebody, whether it is in Israel, in Hebron, as we talk today, or somewhere in Costa Rica, or somewhere in South Sudan, or somewhere in Africa, people to read the Bible. You know, the Bible means this. The word Bible, it means this. Be informed before life ends. Right? Bible. Be informed before life ends. Could you become one of those people to inform before life ends? That's the Bible. Thank you. Amen. It is because the Lord allowed my leg to break that I was able to come to know the Lord. And I wanted to become part and parcel of those who will give away the Bible. Hence the reason in CMA and also with Wycliffe Bible Translation. And I thank the Lord so much for allowing my leg to break. And my leg is shorter, to remind me of the goodness of the Lord. And I'm so grateful, even though my leg is short, I still can run, I still can play squash, can do many things, and my back is well, but just for the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, I want to share the topic is pursuing our faith together. Pursuing our faith together. And we can find this in 2 Peter chapter 1. We can read together First Peter chapter 1. Pursuing our faith together. I will read from verse 1 to 21. Pursuing our faith together. I will read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 21. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and throughout the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for the very reason, giving all diligence, add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and I establish in the present truth, yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For his perceived from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the darkness, in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing the fact that no prophecy of scriptures is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peter emphasized God's empowerment to his people. The word of God empowers us and gives us life. Peter tells us what God has granted, that all things that pertain to life and godliness, God has given to us. We participate together in the divine nature of God and his promises that are true and amen. While in hospital, I learned many things, including God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. His promises are true and amen. God is still on the throne. Whether this part of the ocean or the other side, God is still on the throne. Peter wrote of what he knew as the Spirit used to him. We are who we think we are. And when we know something and we have skills on something, we talk about it because we know. You know, the Bible. Dirty Bible, if your Bible is very dirty, it means you are a clean Christian. If your Bible is very clean, means you are a dirty Christian. It means, how much time do you spend reading the Word of God? So your life can be built. Pursuing our faith together is through the Word of God. Salvation is an entry into our faith. And we don't find this unless we spend time in the Word of God, that we can become man, woman of the Word of God, and become man and woman of fervent prayer. We talked about it over here, prayer. When I heard the story this morning during the Sunday school, that the people in Ephron said, prayer, prayer. Jesus Christ came so that we people from different background can come to know the Savior. Even us, where I come from is out in the valley. I am so grateful that the Lord also died for an African like me in a valley where I would be lost. But today there are many of my brethren, of your brethren, that are lost because they do not know the Word of God. What is our vocation? That we can become instrument of praise, instrument of the Word of God, instrument of sharing what we have. We give what we have. We need to exercise diligently what we have. We need to exercise what we have in Christ Jesus. When we have gone through what we've just read just now, virtue, perseverance, it builds a character in us so that what we say is what is inside. I do counseling, and there are times I ask people things and they share what is inside. And what is inside is what is troubling them. We need to soak. We soak clothes. We need to soak ourselves with the Word of God, that we can be wet with the Word of God, that when the devil touches, we are very wet with the Word of God. How is your personal life with the Lord Jesus Christ? What relationship do you have with the Savior? Are you able to connect? When there are children playing out here and one child gets injured and that child cries, not every mother will run there, but one particular mother who knows the voice of that child will go. Does the Savior know your voice? That when you pray, when you talk, when you tell him, he knows. That is, keep talking. We only do that when we have a relationship. In Africa, relationship is important for us. Peter encourages us that our faith should grow. And I want to mention several things on how our faith can grow. In pursuing our faith together, that we can grow as a community, that we can grow as a family. You know, the first mission field for each of us is not out there in Africa, is not out there in Israel, is not out there in South America. The first mission field is our home. It was a story in Kenya. The elders came for a meal in one elder's home. So they came, the meal was prepared, everything was ready. Before they ate, the elder, the owner of this home, said, "Everybody come, call the children, come, come, come. We need to say the prayer before we share the meal." So everybody came, sat down. A 7-year-old boy said, "Hiya, we are praying today because the elders are here." Oh, the other elders were surprised that in the home of this elder, prayer is not important. Our first mission field is our home. That is where also our children will learn about mission, will learn about giving, will learn about pursuing the faith in Christ Jesus. As they see us, as they see our behavior, our character, as they see what we do together. So, pursuing our faith together. As I said, Peter wrote, and he saw salvation as an entry into the faith. Let's look a little bit of several things that will help us grow in our faith. Faith. I have learned personally in my journey as a Christian, the meaning of faith. Faith means fantastic adventure in trusting Him. Fantastic adventure in trusting Him. Faith is an adventure. Faith is a matter of trusting the Savior. And faith is the foundation in which we grow spiritually. Hence the reason our first mission field is our home. Second is virtue, which we've just read. Virtue is a life of strong character, courage, self-discipline, excellency, self-control, quality time with the Savior. Taking time, the church I go to, we have cell groups. That is where our church starts, cell groups. Where we have relationship, we look at the word, we talk together, and we build one another. And on Sunday, we come to celebrate of what the Lord has done. A community. Our church is called a community church, where we are together, we build together. And as a community, we can pursue our faith together, encouraging one another. The third is being knowledgeable. Faith is to have knowledge, to equip ourselves with the word of God spiritually. Knowledge is understanding of what God thinks and what God values, so we can pursue the value of God, matching what we believe in with what we do. That will enable us to think rightly. I said earlier, clean Bible, dirty Christian. Dirty Bible, clean Christian. We need to read the Word of God and equip ourselves. Self-control in our faith, self-control. Self-control is the ability to lead oneself. We cannot lead somebody else unless we have led ourselves. Before we lead others, We need to lead ourselves. It means I can't tell others the Lord is a savior. The Lord is Lord, unless he's Lord over my life. Salvation is a person, is a personal thing for me to establish relationship with the Savior. Self-control is ability to reason, to control one's emotions. And Christian self-control is a submission to the control of the indwelling Spirit, indwelling Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. Self-control, so important for us to be able to have quality time with the Savior, to have quality time reading the Bible, to have quality time in prayer, to connect. My wife challenges me. She's an early riser. I am a late riser. Sometimes last year, our children were writing something about us. We were celebrating our 41 wedding anniversary and asking things. And they said, yes, Mama wakes up, you find her on her knees praying, but you find me still asleep. So I said, listen, I am not going to be blamed or to blame myself. I take my personal time, you take your time. Because I am a late riser, I take mine in the morning, my time. If I'm pursuing reading a chapter every day and connect with the King of Kings. And so, how are you connecting with the King of Kings? Do you have time or you are busy? In Africa, we do not know why people from the West, they walk so fast. They walk. Why for us, we walk, you know, gently. No problem. You see, you give us stress by walking very fast. So we realize maybe you guys are walking fast because it is very cold, so you need to generate heat. Then we also found that you walk so fast because time is important to you. Like now, I am supposed to stop. Please, can you give me 10 minutes? Is your chicken getting cold? Please give me, yes. We have time for us. We have time to avoid stress. I worked in the human resource and I was one with so many missionaries. They come to my office and knock and said, keep, I want this now. Then I said, good morning. Okay, yeah, wait, have a seat. No, I need this now. I see, you are so stressed. Why? How come you are so stressed? Take time to relax. So I'm asking you, give me 10 minutes to relax. Self-control. Christian self-control is a submission of the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perseverance. It means being patiently sticking to what is right. It does not matter what comes around us, but what is right. So, it is being said, perseverance is the queen of all virtues in life. Wow. Perseverance is the queen of all virtues in life. They said, patience is courage behind, but hope in the front yard. Perseverance. As a Christian, we must persevere to keep going and walking right in order to honor the Lord. I learned a word recently, a word called tenacity. Tenacity, yes. It is the tenacity that refuses to give up when we're in trouble or when trouble comes to us. It is that tenacity that will help us to look forward to a better tomorrow. I said, wow, That's a new word that I need to learn to use. Godliness. Godliness is a spiritual, spirit-filled life. Spirit-led life. And that spirit-led life, spirit-filled life, should be our style in the way we think, in the way we do things, in the way we treat our children, in the way we treat our spouses, in the way we treat our employees, in the way we treat each other. Even driving on the road, that we can be seen, that we belong to the Savior. Godliness helps us to build a character. I was driving one day, and I stopped. In Nairobi, we have too much traffic. I stopped and allowed so many people to go. The people behind were hooting, "Tong, get going, get going, get going." I just stopped. When they went away, I drove. Somebody calls me and said, "I am so proud of you." I said, "Why?" He said, "I saw you allowing other people to pass on. That was very nice." I said, "Oh, they are watching you, marking all you do, and they charge the Savior by what we do, by what we say, by the way we behave. Do they see the Savior's love in us?" Practical love, it means, like we've shared, we've been given stories here, practical love is allowing ourselves to become vulnerable to the Savior and to be able to help those who are vulnerable in other communities as well. Brotherly kindness, as the Bible talks about it here, it means a lifestyle that is warm, that is related. Brotherly kindness. It helps that the Word of God transforms us in out, that we can tell of the goodness of the brotherly love of the Savior. Kindness should be a trademark in our lives. Kindness should be a trademark in our lives in a community. The church I come from, it's important that we love one another. We share what we have. Should be a trademark to our community, in our community. Love, the last one is love. Agape love. And agape love is the highest quality that enables me and you to share sacrificially. It is that love that took Jesus Christ to the cross so that we have life. And without that cross, we have no life. You know, I've shared a number of things. But I want to close up by sharing briefly, and I will close. I said about faith and about the Bible. But I have not said about sin. S-I-N, sin. S means separation from the love of God. When we sin, we are separated by the love of God. And I is intoxication, get drunk. Sin intoxicates us that we cannot see wrong and right. And N, sin numbs us. So we cannot confess, we cannot worship, we cannot praise. Sin. When we've given our lives to the Savior, that is when salvation comes in. And we help one another. I flew from Africa, but we could not fly in the aeroplane without one wing. We can't fly from Nairobi, Kenya, in an aeroplane with only one wing. we will not arrive here. Or a bird will never fly without another wing. And it's the same with us as a community. We cannot fly on our own. We can fly together as a community. That we can become a unit, that we can share with others, we can tell of the Savior's love. In my country, when building a house, you cannot build alone. Someone must be on the roof, another one must be down. Working together as a community will help us accomplish much more in the kingdom. We've been given many talents. So that we can tell of the Savior's love. Please, maybe you can open your Bible, last one, in Psalm 87. Psalms 87. Okay, Psalms 87. I will read Psalm 87. It goes, His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. And Zion, it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples. This one was born there. Both the singers and the players on the instrument, and you know, God gives a register of all of us. And tomorrow, before the King of Kings, as we walk through, that one was born in Zion, this one was born in Zion, this one and that one were born in Zion, this one, that one, not born in Zion. Challenge yourself. If you do not know the Savior, get to know the Savior. That in tomorrow in heaven, your name will appear. That one was born in Zion. This one was born in Zion. How about you becoming an instrument that someone else, somewhere around the world, since I come from Kenya, CMA, somebody in South Sudan, somebody in Kenya or Uganda or somewhere, this one will be walking on the street of gold. This one was born in Zion. How come someone provided the word of God? Or someone gave the Bible? Or someone talked about it? Or they had a sermon? They heard about the Savior. Faith is a fantastic adventure. Let us walk together adventurously in the faith. You know the word ACT, A-C-T-S, it has helped me a lot. That A, time to adore, adoration. And T, C is time to confess my sin so that my name is in the register. And giving thanksgiving to the Savior for what is done. And then taking time to pray so that I can say clearly, walk by faith, not by sight, pursuing together. This one, that one, was born in Zion. Appreciate the work that you've done. Appreciate the work that others have done because of the Savior. It is our time, it's our opportunity to tell of this Savior's love so that others can walk in faith, not in sight. So that others, as David talked about, these pastors and others, will walk through the streets, through the forest and the deserts, telling of the Savior's love. That eventually it will be said, this one, That one and this one was born in Zion. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercies that are new every day. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for dying for us. We from different background, thank you. Thank you for dying. Thank you for paying the price for us. Thank you for bringing us together this morning to hear, Lord, of the Savior's love, that we can pursue our faith so firmly that we can walk in the ways of the Lord, that no one here today, Lord, will miss a name or his name in the book of life, in the book of records in heaven, that tomorrow it will be said, that one and this one and that one was born in Zion. Bless this church, Lord, for your glory. Would you not overtake them overwhelmingly, Lord, with your grace and with your righteousness, that they will pursue the faith, they will pursue the word of God, they will become a church of fervent prayer, they will become a church where the word of God is read and is established. Establish them in the faith, each of them, even the children. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for their faith. Thank you for their support. We ask for your blessing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So hear these words as we close our time together this morning. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.